We are continuing our study through Nehemiah and looking at the way that he uses his time and his talents and his resources to glorify God. God has placed on him a big burden to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2 today. But as we begin, I want to share with you this idea that sometimes when we speak about God, the way that he works, the way that he empowers us, it might seem like we're skipping a few steps. You might remember back to geometry class where you had to give the proofs and step through some of the process to really show your work or to be able to come to a conclusion about certain things. I read a story about a young man who was brought into a classroom. The professor gave the students this incredibly difficult math problem. So the student was called up and wrote this problem on the board, started to do some work, and then in the middle of the chalkboard, put these two big parentheses, and in the middle of it, wrote a T-A-M-O. And then off to the side, wrote the answer. The professor comes back and looks over the work and realizes the answer is correct, but doesn't understand what a T-A-M-O or what that formula means. And so he is puzzled, and he asks the student if he can help understand what the process was. And the student smugly, jokingly smiles back and says, T-A-M-O. Well, that's pretty easy. It means then a miracle occurred. Sometimes when we are describing God, we skip some of the steps. I want to share with you three things that I want you to remember, to know, and to have confidence in as we begin. Number one, if God has gifted me, I must have a purpose. If God has given me talents, then there must be a reason or a place that I get to use those. Number two, if God does great things, and I believe he does, I mean, history throughout scripture is demonstrating that. If God does great things, I am now a part of something greater than myself. And if God knows everything, then he must know my weaknesses too. So in order to allow me to use my talents and weaknesses, he will either have to empower me with his spirit or encircle me with his people. He's either got to give me additional strength and knowledge or give me additional people to work with. In the day of illusions and confusions, upon their delusions, they base their conclusions. Now, that's the summary of many people in this world. If you miss God, you mess up your time. There is an individual who ran for the presidency in Brazil, Tancredo Neves, if I'm saying the name correctly. He campaigned, and he said if he could get 500,000 votes, not even God himself could remove him from office. Well, guess what? He got all those votes and many more. And then on the day before he was inaugurated as president, Tancredo got sick and he died. If you miss God, you mess up your time. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. So he concludes his prayer or his intro in Nehemiah chapter 1. Basically, a cupbearer brings food and drink to the king. Now, some speculate that this is a low-level job. This person has no skill, no future. They are only good really for taking a bullet. Their life is expendable. I don't know if that's the case with Nehemiah or not. Some speculate, at least for Nehemiah, that he was a wise counsel. Expendable maybe, but valuable. He was the main attendant to the daily and personal affairs, or could be the main attendant for the daily and personal affairs of the king. He might have been the one who saw to the details of parties and ceremonies. He might have been overseeing the details of guest lists and food preparation, of course, parade routes and seating assignments and so much more. He might need to know who was in the king's favor, or who needed to be publicly humiliated so that he would assign them to go sit as guests at the kid table. The cupbearer, a good one like Nehemiah anyway, was probably very influential, very organized, and had learned to give commands on behalf of the king. And so when Nehemiah heard that Jerusalem was still in ruins, the walls were rubble, he wept and he fasted and he prayed. Now, his story is fascinating because he goes directly to God with the problem. It is not a new problem. These walls have been in disrepair for more than 100 years. But this time, it affects Nehemiah's heart, and he goes to God. This time, when the king recognizes his sorrow, Nehemiah speaks. This time, when the king hears the problem, he asks Nehemiah what he can do about it, and Nehemiah is ready to give an answer or to ask for permission to leave. Now, the king has found favor in Nehemiah's service, and Nehemiah was a man who accomplished his task. He was not lazy. He was not head in the clouds or anything like that, but he was trusted. And Nehemiah acted on the grace and the favor by asking for a letter of protection. Nehemiah asked for resources so the wall can be properly built, and the king gives from his own forest. We live in God's timing when we prepare for the works that he has prepared for us. If God has gifted me, I must have a purpose. If God does great things, I am a part of something greater than myself. And if God knows everything, he knows my weaknesses too. He will empower me with his spirit, or he will encircle me with his people. Now, from the time that Nehemiah hears about the wall, and the time that he is approached by the king takes about 4 months. And then the first real interaction Nehemiah has with the leaders and the people in Jerusalem, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 16, says about 3 days that they didn't even know why he was there. Then in verse 17, I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruin, and the gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer live in disgrace." Nehemiah, he told them about the gracious hand of God and what the king had said. And then the people replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. It's been said that teamwork makes the dream work, and that's true. But a big dream and a bad team is a nightmare. If God has given you a big dream, then you need to empower those people that God has placed by your side. He often does not call us to be an army of one, but to collectively work together as a team. Let us walk through these letters quickly. L stands for lead and follow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, it is not becoming of God's people to act as if we have no gumption, no fire, no desire, but only want to retire. Lead and follow. E is for educate and prepare. We're reminded through Scripture that we are to study to show ourselves approved, to be ready. The Chinese proverb says, "Dig a well before you're thirsty." Peter says to be ready to defend and to share your hope, yet do it with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. As we think about learning and educating and preparing, then we also need to take the T, this tackling or taking responsibility, that we will speak what we believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, a scripture we've used before, that we will speak what we believe, not shrinking back, not living in fear. We will live by the power of the Spirit. We will seize the opportunity and take the time. There are three people in this world, it's been said: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who are standing by wondering what happened. Now, the you is for you. There is no us without you. There is no church without you. We need to join together to see the providence of God, his timing, and the things prepared in advance. Nehemiah, he shows up in Jerusalem, and the walls were still laying in ruin. God's timing has not come until the people join in the work. Nehemiah brought trees and a plan, and the walls were still laying in ruin. God's timing does not come into effect until the people join together. He had said what God has done. Nehemiah even speaks about what the king had done. And then, after seeing all this, the people join in. They say, "Let us," and they join the work. Henry Ford says, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." And so the final of this "let us," the final letter is this S, this idea of sharing, that our excellence or our giftedness, the thing that God has given to us as a talent or a resource, is going to be shared. And there is no end to that. Our knowledge and experience is something that invigorates us and thrives us. Just because something seems difficult to you doesn't mean that it's impossible or undesirable to somebody else. You're gifted by God. And so take time to prepare for the God tasks as he comes your way. Your excellence in your expertise is a limitless well. You grow stronger when you share your wisdom and your experience. You are fueled by opportunities to use your talent. You are made to do this work that God has prepared for you. This is your time to shine for his glory. God will either empower us or encircle us. Isn't that encouraging? He will either strengthen us or equip us. I want to endorse the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I want them to engage in me what I was made to do, so that I can enter and enjoy eternity. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, shares a beautiful story of God and his timing. "Hear, Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispose nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall. Anakites, you know about them, and you've heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you." God puts us in tough situations. For sure, that is part of life. But God also promises to provide. And so this is our time to act. Let us act for his glory. Let us act. Yes, let us join together to be God's people, to accomplish God's work in this time, using the time, talents, and treasures that he has given to us. May he be glorified in all that we do.